Relationships can be effortless and wonderful sometimes, but let's be honest, they can also be hard work. Neuropsychotherapist Joanne Wilson, who hails from South Australia, has just released a practical DIY guide to repairing relationship issues. It's called Renovate Your Relationship, and she joins us now for a chat. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what is Renovate Your Relationship all about? How did it come to be?
Well, it was coined from writing articles for 3 years for our local newspaper, and my topic was relationships. So I've got enough content for the rest of my life, but then I have actually evolved it into a pretty much common sense, sometimes humorous guide to meet couples from just complacent through to highly conflicted. And that also helps people, one person that has found it most useful, to prepare herself for her next relationship. So it includes parenting at all levels, definitely conflict from infidelity, reaching all the hard topics, but hopefully in a lighthearted way that still makes it entertaining. That was definitely my goal.
Right. So tell us about the 80-20 rule that you break down in your book.
Yeah, this is more my perspective after hundreds and hundreds of seeing couples and individuals in my private practice and just the people I come across. I've really drilled it down to this 80-20 rule that when couples are speaking to me, or when I deal with a lot of individuals who come in to speak about their relationship, that it gets down to what I call the three corrosive C's. And that is, which comes first, the chicken or the egg, is the crashing confidence that when you're in a relationship, you can often have your self-esteem, your level of self-worth quite whittled down. And so your level of confidence to be assertive in your relationship is often compromised. So there's these three main things that cause 80% of the trouble. So the second one is that you have poor communication skills. So it's very much linked to that lack of assertiveness. So either you just have lost the respect and kindness in your friendships or your relationships, and that disables your ability to communicate well. And that kind of leads on to, you know, where did you learn that? We talk a lot about our family of origin, but where did you have your mentors? What did they teach you? That can often be good or bad. And the last one, the last C of the three corrosive C's, is a really toxic conflict cycle. So couples will swap out the topic, but they'll generally default to the same behaviours. And that's where the 80-20 rule comes in. If people can get those three things right, the rest of their life can be really, really flourishing, that they can approach differences with their partner or their family members with confidence and have some really great outcomes. And for every single time I see, like, the symptoms can be infidelity, the symptoms can be businesses failing. You can have all these things that are generally what gets back to those 20% of issues that cause 80% of the troubles.
Oh, right. Yeah, I do notice that. I think a lot of us can't help but be a little bit condescending to our partners sometimes, almost like we treat them a bit like our children or something. How do you recommend you take a step back and be a bit more empathetic, maybe try to remember the things that you admire about that person?
Well, it's very unscientific. Respect and kindness needs to be a big banner over your house. You've got the foundations of shared experiences. So when you're doing things together, so that's like quality time and enjoying life together, because that's a whole, that can lead into, you know, couples are very much, you know, passing ships in the night, or they, one is watching one show in one room and someone else is on their iPad in another room. That when you've got shared experiences, but then above all that, respect and kindness, like literally how you would speak to your next door neighbour or a friend, is exactly how you should be speaking to your partner. And that, again, gets eroded over time. And that's when I end up seeing couples when that's gone out the window. There's no respect and kindness, and they can't even speak to each other nicely. So funnily, when you said that we can be condescending, I noticed a lot of partners of teachers often say, they treat me like one of their students. So you make sure that your work life doesn't come home to your personal life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about stress, because stress can create conflict. It can be incredibly difficult to separate that stress from what's really going on. So how can we better communicate when in that position, or, you know, either as the stressed person or the person who's arguing with someone who's stressed out?
Yeah, well, first, I think it's worth realising that managing your stress is your responsibility. Yes, it's going to leak into your life and into your relationships, but just realising that it's on yourself to come up with ongoing strategies to support stress. There is levels of stress. There's great stress. Stress got me to work on time today. Stress gets me to those appointments that I need to. That's going to give me a bit of a kick. But then when you have too much level two, level three is literally just in constant stress response. And that's really, really unhelpful to your overall well-being. That's when you tend to find physical symptoms. And of all the years for the globe has been in constant stress, I think we underestimate how much that background uncertainty and lack of hope that a pandemic has produced has put most people in a certain level of stress. And how to do that? There's the most amazing, very simple concepts that we should all be doing. And one is exercise, getting your heart rate up at least 30 minutes a day. That is the best antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication on the planet. So even, you know, if you aren't able to run like you used to, or you can't go and go to the gym, or but just making sure that you get a really good walk in or something that's going to get your heart rate up and get that blood flow to your brain. Like, that's just going to make you feel better anyway. When you've had the most stressful phase in your life or day, you just can't possibly be the best version of yourself. So everyone needs to realise that. Yeah.
Absolutely. We all express ourselves differently, and we all express our love differently, don't we, Joanne?
We do. We do. I love this concept. There's a concept that came out back in the 90s. Another marriage therapist, Dr. Gary Chapman, wrote a book called The Five Love Languages, and blokes particularly love this, and I do hear them say, I wish I knew about this one in my first marriage, because it's just such a simple thing that we tend to show our own love language, and that might not necessarily land because that person doesn't feel love in the same way. And I say to couples, it's not going to fix your marriage, but if you can get this beautiful thing right, it's a really good head start. So the five love languages are words of affirmation. So that's, you know, spoken words, written cards saying I love you, or you're a great wife, or I love the way you're handy around the house, anything like that in words. Quality time could be just running errands together, or having undivided attention, having a cup of tea together, walking, you know, down the street, whatever it is. It can be different for everybody. The third one is receiving gifts. So that one's pretty obvious. But this is my particularly favourite love language, and it's not materialistic. It's more about, oh, wow, my husband thought about me today.
Yeah, it's like a gesture.
Yeah, a gesture of his love. That's right. Yeah. And acts of service. So that could be making a cup of tea for your partner. It could be washing their car, just any chores that they might not have got to. It's, you know, saying, what can I do for you just to cut the slack for you this week? And physical touch, not sort of so much the intimate type. It's more about the hugs, the pats, the touches, or just sitting close is really important to that person. So naturally, by the time I see couples, they don't want to do any of these things. They don't particularly like each other if you turn up for relationship counselling in a high conflict state. So yes, it's introduced at the right time, but surprisingly I do it early on, because I say, if you can meet your partner's love language and they can do yours, it's a really good head start. And just practice. Which, as you can imagine, touching someone you don't really like and have a lot of inbuilt resentment for is quite a challenge. But it's just about understanding, let's step outside of how bad it is for me, and let's have a look at your partner and what they want. And this can be transferred to work, to your children. I've got three boys, and I absolutely can see it so clearly that when they need assurance that I can apply their specific love language to them, that makes them feel so much better.
And trying to work out with that person, what is the thing that makes you feel the most loved? Let's say I'm always buying my partner presents to make him feel special. He might not care at all about presents. He might be thinking, why hasn't she told me she loves me in a while? That sort of thing. So I hear it really turns things around for a lot of couples.
Yeah, it is truly such a beautiful, simple concept. So it's definitely worth, all you need to do is head to the fivelovelanguages.com website, and you can instantly do the 30 quick questions. It does not take that. It's so simple.
Cool.
And it's free, and then they'll email you back your love language. I've also got it on my website, Relationship Rejuvenator, and they can have that the link is there as well. So definitely worth checking out. Yeah.
And what else can we find on your website? Is there stuff about your book, Renovate Your Relationship, up there?
Yes, there certainly is. You can have that sent to you. And I'm also wanting to reach the greater community now and do some online courses. So you can do a quick quiz there as well. Love a good quiz, because you can have a little bit of a check-in to see what's normal. A lot of people say, I don't know if I'm getting what I deserve, or I'm giving the love that I should. What's a normal relationship? I might not have come from a great background, or I got it so wrong the first time. So I'm hoping to really reach the greater community, because I could only see one couple at a time. So I'm doing that with some online courses. So you can wait list for those as well. So relationshiprejuvenator.com.
Joanne Wilson, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.